Dan, what's up, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing fucking awesome today, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm living the dream, brother. So this is our first recording, I guess, since we had our Mile High Profit Summit in Denver with the fight, or at least the first Q&A we're doing. For those of you that were there, that are listening to this, thanks so much for coming. For those of you that didn't make it for whatever reason, we're sorry we missed you. It was an absolutely phenomenal event with over 350 contractors from all around the place. And Dan, I've heard nothing but you guys knocked it out of the park and this and that. And I'm bragging about it. It's probably the best event I've ever been to, even though it's one that I put on. And the reason it's the best is because of the team we have and the way y'all plan the thing and our event planner, Sherry and Neil, and just everything we did as a team that came together. So I'm super proud, man.
Yeah, for sure. That was a, like you have been to a ton of events and that one just wowed me. Like I didn't want to leave the room even when I wasn't dealing with stuff just because it's good info.
Yeah. And so speaking of events, guys, I want to get it on your radar. Hit the show notes if you need to, but go to thecontractorfight.com/NashVegas-2021. We have a sales event coming up in December 2021. You do not want to miss this thing. It's downtown Nashville, Tennessee. contractorfight.com/NashVegas-2021. So Dan, let's dig into some questions here. I got a question about a couple that we're going to talk about here. One is where somebody should be in business, where they're at. I'll get to that. And then the other question here that I was going to address today with us is how to deal with a customer who wants extra work done that's not part of the contract. And I'll read both questions here, but I'm game when you are, man. You ready?
Yeah, just hit it.
All right, let's do it. So first one here from Branson. He wants to know, how does one know if they're where they should be in business? No matter if they're 1 year or 10 years in, things to look for. And I thought that was an interesting one because a lot of times my first thought was what I've done in the past is I've compared myself to others. Mm-hmm. And comparison, what do they say, is the thief of joy and
for sure
fucks with our heads. And all that stuff. And so, as I've shared here before on the show, I've had a couple milestones, I think, that for me, the first indicator, dude, is like, if I've been in business about 2 years or more, I better be making at least 100 grand a year in my pocket, bringing home. And my debt is not climbing. Like that, I don't have any debt. To me, that's kind of that first milestone. I think the longer you're in business, And I don't think there's a actual, hey, on year three, this is what happens. And you're, you know, I just think it's a, I think another indicator that you're headed in the right direction is that you're growing your brand and the phone is just ringing because you've been working on your branding. And that can happen quicker if you're really aggressive. It could, either way, it's going to take some time to build your brand. So that's another thing. And I guess the third indicator for me, and I kind of touched on it with the income, was it things to look for if you're doing things right, is that you're not putting the ball and chain of debt around your ankle and sinking to the bottom of the damn ocean. And so those are the first three things that I thought of. How about you?
Yeah, you know, those are all key points that jump to my head. I'll take it a little bit more esoteric, I guess. You know, if you don't know where you should be, to me, that's indication of you don't know where you're trying to go. So we always talk about reverse engineering the business from where you want to be, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. And then you've got a target that you can hit as opposed to just kind of aimlessly striving for better, whatever that means. So I think that's where a lot of people fail. And I know it was certainly with myself, where it's just kind of like I didn't have a destination at the start. And so I was just repeating the same year over and over for about 5 years until I got my shit together. And then certainly everything you mentioned is those are indicators that what you're doing on the right path. But
yeah, how you're running the business. Yep.
Yeah. But like, you know, when you compare yourself to somebody else, it's like that just may not be your goal. So make sure you know what you want and then the business is headed in that direction. Then you can start getting some metrics.
So really your answer is, you know, am I hitting my goals? Right? Am I hitting the goals that I'm setting for myself, regardless of what they're? And if I am, then I'm exactly where I should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're just a one-man show and you're happy doing that and you're making the money you need to make, who cares what the guy that's got 10 crews and, you know, seven-figure business? Like, that's his dream, not yours. And so figure out what suits you.
Good shit, man. I like it. All right, cool. Hey, fighters, listen, I want to tell you about Nice Job. They're one of the sponsors here of the Contractor Fight. They are a reputation marketing software platform that can help you grow your service business. Nice Job's automated tools are going to help you collect 2 to 3 times more reviews and then share those reviews where it matters the most. Using that social proof, you can be the top rated contractor in your field, in your area. So I want to encourage you all to visit thecontractorfight.com/nicejob and get some more information, guys. Reviews are huge, and don't miss out on more sales because you're not getting them. thecontractorfight.com/nicejob. All right, next question. Benjamin asks, I'll read it. It's about a paragraph. Question for y'all. How do you deal with a customer who wants extra work done that's not part of a contract or the contract? We tell them we can try to fit them in with our schedule. And on one of the days we said we could, it could be a possibility, they're butthurt when we tell them, unfortunately, we're fully booked for that day. Now they're turning into a Karen and saying they'll report us to the Better Business Bureau in the licensing department. Any nice way to respond to them about that, or shall I nicely tell them to find someone else?
I mean, that's an expectations problem to a degree. Yeah. I like to set this stuff, and nothing like a change order and payment in advance sets these things in motion. And so it's, you know, you get paperwork in front of them, you get a check back from them for the work, and then you can schedule that day knowing that it's going to happen. And that's where I've always found with people, like, oh, can you add this bedroom or whatever onto this job? And we've made accommodations for that, and then they change their mind for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just get the money in front, get their go-ahead, and then schedule it from there. But sometimes you just have to have that rough conversation. Like, you know what? We allocated a week for you. We've got somebody that's been waiting 6 months, starting next week, and we can't get back here for 3 or 4 weeks. But yeah, set clear expectation and stick to it is what is a bigger issue.
Yeah, the thing that jumped out to me here is he says, we tell them we can try to fit them in with our schedule. Right. And that, like you said, it's an expectation thing. And to me, the conversation would go like this. If Dan, you wanted some extra work done and it was going to take a day, that's what I'm gathering from this, that they said they're booked for that day, right? So
yeah.
I would just say, hey, Dan, you know, as you can imagine, we're pretty jammed up and we have a full schedule and we're happy to do this work for you. If I'm not able to do it right now while we're here, is that a deal breaker? Okay. And then shut your mouth. This is a sales training issue, right? And then they'll probably go, no, just give us a date and this and that. Then I think it's not, we'll try to fit you in. It's, here's the date that I can guarantee you.
Correct.
Okay. And this vague, and I'm not picking on Benjamin here because I've done this. I think we've all done this. We get ourselves into trouble because we don't totally take control of the sales process. So like you said, the first thing would have been, yeah, we can do that for you. It'll be, I don't know, $3,500. And I'm going to, you know, once we get the agreement worked up and all the scope and all that other stuff added on and sign and get the deposit for it. Yes, you get a deposit for additional work, guys. Then I can go ahead and schedule it. And then you honor the schedule just like you would anything else. So again, it just sounded like this was and I'm recalling a literal scenario that I had many years ago where somebody's like, hey, can you throw this other bedroom in or whatever? You know, can you get it done? And I'm like, yeah, we should be able to do that. Not a problem. You know, and then you just kind of go back and then they think it's going to happen. And then you don't really know what's going to happen because you didn't have that ironclad conversation and agreement.
Yeah. And, you know, what's happened to me in the past too is where didn't have a grasp on the hours that we had committed to already and the major schedule. So people are like, oh yeah, we can fit that in at the end of the week, but they don't really realize that they're running behind schedule on hours or whatever it is, and just painting themselves into a corner. So it's, I love the way Steve used to schedule Monday to Thursday, and then Friday was a floater for if they're running over on a job or for upsells or whatever. So that's, you know, I'm guilty of it. Everyone is trying to cram. I schedule down to the minute during the production season, you know, try and fit everything in. But I've learned that I like to have a little bit fluff on there because right now our upsells are averaging like 35 or 40% of the original contract this year. So it's I'm spacing things out and then using that void to force myself to sell.
Yeah, that's awesome that you brought that up. I forgot about that. But yeah, guys, put some margin into your schedule a little. And then here's the cool thing. So like, let's talk this margin. Let's say this person was like, they needed a day and they scheduled it 3 weeks out, but all their other projects, they put some margin in. Well, if you finished one of those jobs on time, now you can pick the phone up and call that person and go, hey, Dan, I got great news for you. I could either still come the date that we planned, or I could move you up because I had a day open up here this week. Later in the week, what would you like to do? And now you're not the typical contractor calling people to move things back. You're the uncommon contractor calling to move things up.
Yeah, so. Very rarely, unless it's like the week of Christmas, so you want to get inside their living room to do something, will they not be excited that you're coming early?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, everyone expects the opposite.
Well, good shit, man. Good hanging out here today. Little Q&A. Guys, we appreciate you being part of the fight. Like I said, if you want to learn more about our Nash Vegas event, go to thecontractorfight.com/NashVegas-2021. That's a lot of shh sounds in there. Nash Vegas dash 2021. You guys rock. We got to roll. Hey, thanks for hanging out with Dan and I today on the question and answer episode of the Contractor Fight podcast. If you have a question for Dan or I or both of us, go ahead and email help@thecontractorfight.com. And in the subject line, put podcast and then type your question in. And if it's relevant, if it's helpful to people, we're happy to answer it. Thanks for being here.